Thanks for tuning into Radio 323. It's time for Power Players. This is your host, Ken Watmore. And during this program, we're going to talk to people about their stories, about how Christ has impacted their lives and what they're doing with the platform that he's given them. You and I have a story, and so does everybody else. And this is a show where we don't leave any stone unturned. We're talking to professional leaders from athletics, coaches, business leaders, entertainers, people like you and me. We all have a very unique testimony and an opportunity to share Christ with the world through it. So we're going to talk to people about just that. And hopefully you will be blessed by the next half hour or so. Sit back and enjoy the show, and then tune in every week, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock to hear Power Players Radio. Well, thanks for joining us. Another edition of Power Players. And today we have a wonderful guest, a friend of mine, and a guy who started a really cool ministry. And I'll actually back that up and say God started a really cool ministry through this guy. And his name is Brent Bailey. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ken.
Good. I appreciate you taking the time to be here on the phone with me and to get this interview out there so we can talk a little bit about this ministry, which is Look Up to Him. And I want to encourage our listeners, I'll do it a couple times through the show, to go to lookuptohim.com and get into this program. Let's talk a little bit more about it, and then you guys will be more excited about going there, I'm sure, because I think it's one of the coolest things I've seen, and what an awesome idea. Brent, tell us about... let's start with you, kind of who you are, what you do, and maybe where God kind of intersected that path and said, hey, I got something for you I want you to check out.
Wow, that's kind of a wide open question there, and I'm not really quite sure how far to take it back, but, I think just as a whole, looking back, on my life in general, that God just always had his hand in it. He's always been very cool in the way he's done things in unique ways that really have made him unmistakable. And so some of this journey and some of the part of it even getting to Look Up was just the fact that, I think as he works in your life, you start to get a sense of when he's saying something. And I believe he does that uniquely with every child. And so some of the ways he communicates to me have just been ways that, I couldn't miss them because that's the way I think, that's the way I talk. And so I think everybody listening to this, God does things in each of our lives kind of uniquely that way. So with that kind of as a preface, the Look Up to Him journey actually kind of started back. I went to a Willow Creek leadership seminar that was in our local church. And heard a speaker there, John Burke. He was really interesting. The whole summit things at Willow Creek are always awesome anyway, but John had a book called Soul Revolution, and the book of John's had a section in it from a guy named Frank Lubbock in the 1930s, and Frank Lubbock was writing in a journal. It really talked about the beginning of his life and how he was kind of dismally disappointed with what he'd achieved, And then it doesn't really credit him directly, but I'm thinking he has to have gotten his inspiration from a brother, Lawrence, in the 1600s that had written a book about, trying to create this ongoing relationship with God. Well, Frank Lubbock in the 1930s, after the first part of his life not seeing it being as fruitful as he'd like, decided he'd try communicating with God. And in this book, Soul Revolution by John Burke, he had an excerpt out of there from Frank Lubbock. And Frank talked about after the first 60 days of trying this process, just in summary, he was saying, this was one of the most difficult things I've ever done, keeping God in my forefront, and kind of said, I probably got two-thirds of the day where I'm not successful at it. But he said, although the process of keeping God in front of me all day long is very difficult, everything else in life has become much easier, and really reflected on how God was just, making himself evident in his life through this time that Frank was trying to stay in continual contact throughout the day. Well, and part of that journal, as I'm reading through this and intrigued, by this idea of staying in continual contact with God, he brought up a point in there. Said, I wish I had 12 other people to do this with me in my life. And at that point, the Holy Spirit just really, it's not one of these audible voices, but, you know, speaks so loudly to you that you can't miss it. And, you know, he said, I've got 12 people to do this with me. And I, at the time, and still do, for about a decade prior to that, I've had, you know, 12 plus guys in a Bible study that we've met every other week for, you know, a decade. And so they're the ones that came to mind with this whole process. And then the next thing was, well, okay, now if I'm going to present this to the guys, this idea of ongoing communication, you know, how are we going to achieve it? So I went literally to Walmart and different stores. I looked at Timex watches, anything that had a timer on it could go off every hour. And they weren't making them anymore. I think they're too much of a nuisance for people. And so I looked at clock timers, everything else. And, you know, I'm literally just thinking, how are we going to make this thing fly? Because the last thing I want to do is present this idea to a group of guys and have us all fail at it. Because it's quite apparent that, you know, in our busy lives, it's hard for us to hold anything in our mind very long because we're just, you know, it's pushed out by the busyness of life. So anyway, the long and short of it is, you know, I really, the idea of the cell phone came up, and, you know, I guess I'd have to say all these things are God's ideas, because I do think, you know, right from the very beginning, this thing was just kind of laid in my lap. And anyway, presented to guys talking about trying to do this, and that we'd send text messages out, or I would, and try and do it every hour during the day. And everybody was really, you know, jazzed about the idea of trying to do it. But literally by the end of the day, you know, I was sending messages like, God, you know, just some quirky little message. And, you know, my spirit inside of me is just like, this has absolutely no power. It might help us keep on track, but there's something, you know, grossly missing from this. And then it was kind of one of those, well, duh moments. And you kind of go, well, send scripture. You know, that's what has power in it. So I started putting, you know, scriptures together, and that soon in this process became something that was thematic, where it's like, okay, you know, rather than just random scriptures, today's scriptures are going to be ones that, you know, contain the word love or joy or hope or trust or faith. So I started to, you know, create this thematically. Anyway, the long and short of it with that was, you know, we started with 12 guys. Within a few weeks, we had 30 people. We had these messages being sent not only in our community but out of state. Within, you know, several weeks into this, there were reports of parents sending them to soldiers in Iraq. Another guy saying, well, they're sending them over to a family that's in Spain. So it was really, you know, I could call it the forward phenomena, but what happened with it is that although we had our little nucleus of people that we started it with formally, this thing was just going everywhere, to the point where, you know, there wasn't any way to keep track of it, and it was totally God's deal as to where these things were going.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, just really fascinating to see how it just took on a whole, you know, a whole different look to it as the thing started to evolve. And, you know, just as, you know, as you started to see that, then you started to get, you know, testimonials coming in from people. One guy in our group, you know, was talking about how he was sending them on to his father-in-law that was a non-believer. And then he said, you know, I'd miss some, and his father-in-law would text him back and say, hey, where are my text messages? You know, another person in our group that I was talking with, it was actually the wife of somebody in our group, so he was getting them and then forwarding them on to her, and she started forwarding them on to a friend. That they had a kid in the family that was having trouble, and their marriage was, you know, having issues, and so that family started texting them back and forth to one another. And, you know, you're getting reports that, you know, a marriage is improving and kids are, you know, coming back into the family, and, you know, just crazy stuff where you go, gosh, you know, I sit up at night and I put in, you know, 7 to 10 messages, whatever I, you know, had, you know, ahead of time, putting them in my phone at night. And then I'd, you know, be between patients during the day, and I'd remember, it's like, oh, I got to send out a text. And so I've got a distribution list, and then I had 2 and 3 distribution lists, and then these people were sending them on to other people too. So it was just, it was really wild just to watch how it grew. And I don't know if I'm just rambling too much here.
No.
But, you know, the.
Well, I'll interject one thing too, just because it's so, when you talk about these stories, and you and I mentioned this story to you when we met not too long ago. And that's that, you know, when I first started doing this, you know, that very first week, one of the messages that came across was 1 Peter 5:8. And that message was important to me for two reasons. One, because I had made a pretty important career decision based on hearing that message, that scripture one day in my life. And then two, I had recently done a show with a guy who had been attacked by a mountain lion. And that verse was the first scripture that he had really ever heard. And it came after he, you know, was attacked by this mountain lion, gave his life to Christ. And just when he, it was like almost some kind of glue that God gave him when he first heard that first scripture. And, it was, you know, the devil roams around like a roaring lion waiting to devour its prey. That's, I believe, you know, I'm almost right on exactly what it says. And it's funny because that day I forwarded that text to him, and it had been several years since he was attacked. But that weekend he was going camping with his family, and he was like, I needed that. I needed that day. And he had never heard of this. And, you know, it just came to my mind, hey, I'm going to forward this to him. And it's so cool how little stories like that happen. And man, you know, I've been getting it now for a month, and I love it. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to hear that too. I mean, that's one of the things that you hear routinely with people is that, you know, and only God can do that, because I have no control. I mean, I put the messages in the system, and then they get just sent out, and I don't know what they're sending out day by day. But, you know, God's, you know, despite me having no control over, you know, exactly when those are going out, et cetera, but you hear repeatedly people that, you know, God's orchestrating everything else around these things, and in our own life, and he's just so amazing the way he can intertwine and interconnect and use something like this that, you know, essentially seems random, but he times out the days and the messages sometimes, so they're just, they become just key elements to your day. It's like I can almost guarantee sometime, you know, during this day that something's going to come through on there that hits me just at the right time, right after somebody else said something or whatever. And, and the same with the forwarding effect. I think that's what really happens with the forwarding, is that you get something in, you know, it's the word of God, so it has power. And the Spirit, you know, motivates that person to say, hey, send it on to Frank, send it on to James, send it on to whoever, you know, and they get it, and it hits them right at the time that they needed it. And that's just the Spirit orchestrating that stuff.
It is so cool, man. Let me just mention real quick again to all the listeners, go to lookuptohim.com, and it's lookup2him.com. Lookuptohim.com, and you can sign up for this program and check it out. You can see some testimonials. It's really a cool site, and it's been put together well. So let's go to where you're at now with Look Up to Him. How long has it been going on now, Brent?
You know, literally, we started sending things automated in the fall of 2009. It actually was just January of 2009 that the whole thing started with the men's group and sending out these messages. So, you know, toward the end of that period there, you know, I had heard some testimonies with some guys at breakfast. I went someplace else and actually getting my hair cut from the wife of one of the guys in the group, and she was telling me these other things, and I went out on a, you know, cold winter day back to my truck and sat there a second, and I just really felt like, you know, you could just see how this thing was spreading, and I, you know, was in a mental conversation with God, and just asked him, you know, is there any reason I shouldn't, you know, follow through and pursue this on a bigger scale? And I just felt like there was silence, like there's no answer to saying no.
Right.
And, you know, and again, at the same time, I just really feel kind of like he just laid a plan out there that it's like, well, if these things happen, then this can be done on a scale where anybody can start joining in and doing it. And I really made a deal with him. I said, you know, if this is from you, then all doors are open. Because as soon as there's a closed door, I'm going to figure this came from my mind and not yours, and I don't want to pursue this unless it's yours. You know, pursuing something, you know, like this, if it's just coming from our own human hearts, you know, goes nowhere. All it does is create frustration, et cetera. And the other thing that at the very beginning of all this that I made a deal with him on was just the fact that if I'm going to do this, you know, being a business-minded person, you know, I kind of realized that if this became a business thing, that I'd be motivated by other aspects of it. And so, you know, right at the get-go, I just said, I'm not going to take a dime from this. So you open all the doors if this is yours, and that's going to be my sign to keep, you know, pursuing it. And it was crazy at the beginning because not only were doors open, but, you know, things were just dropping into my lap, and there wasn't anything that was an obstacle to it, and there still wasn't anything that's been an obstacle to it. You know, it's changed its pace a little bit, and, you know, your lead question there about, you know, where are we going with it now, they're just things foundationally that are being laid. You know, we have some contacts within some pretty major ministries that, you know, no one's directly said, you know, yes, we're all over this. Although every single person that I've discussed it with and other people that are part of this group now, you know, it's always met very receptively.
Right.
I think that the biggest barrier that we tend to have with this is with older guys, and put myself in that category where, you know, text messaging wasn't natural necessarily. I started doing it because my kids were at an age they were.
Right.
So it's kind of like, well, if I want to keep this relationship going with my kids, then I need to speak their language. So, you know, I got into the texting aspect of it, but you still run into people that tend to run the ministries today are of a, you know, I'm going to say a 50 and older generation in general. And most of them, kind of the first thought is either I don't text or I don't have much need for texting.
Yeah.
They do everything versus a phone call or email, and texting is not a natural part of their lives. So you kind of get this immediate, it's not that they don't think it's a good idea, it's just they think, well, if it's not completely relevant to me, then how is it relevant to anybody else? So you kind of got to open eyes up and open the perspective to let them kind of get a full feel of it.
But, yeah.
We just keep moving on. We've got some changes we're making both on the website and the way we deliver things that are going to make it more effective. And, you know, for me at the beginning of it, I do things real quickly. So, you know, I got all over and got everything moving and set up and the scriptures and the website and blah, blah, blah. Now God's just kind of saying, okay, you know, that's awesome. But here are the next steps. And so, I think C.S. Lewis had written something on this where he talked about, you know, God sometimes gives us a view from peak to peak. And that's an awesome time when we get to see from peak to peak. But most of the time we're walking in the fog, and the most valuable sight that we have is the next 3 feet in front of us.
Yeah.
Because that's what our life depends on and our walk depends on. And I think right now that's most of the time I hold in my mind where that peak was at. And from where that inspiration came from. And then most of the time, you know, we're walking it as he reveals the next step.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, also, I want to emphasize that one of the things you had given me that's a great blessing is that you gave me a little journal. And, you know, I'm not a journaler. You know, for me, there's a couple things that I don't do well. Let me stop that. There are a million things that I don't do well. But a couple of those things are study and journaling. I'm not good at studying and I'm not good at journaling. It's funny because when I was a kid, I felt like I wanted to journal. I wanted to write. I'm an okay writer, not a great writer. But journaling is so important. I read a book by Wayne Cordero called The Divine Mentor. And that book is all about your devotions and journaling based on that time. And he speaks specifically to your devotion time being in the Word of God, not a daily calendar that says this or that. You know, and it's great that, you know, your calendar might have scripture on it, but then a human perspective on it. But what I like about Look Up to Him also is that it stands on scripture, period. It stands on scripture. And I would encourage anybody who gets involved in this, start the journaling process, because it does something different when you take what you read and you don't just go, oh, that's great, great reminder, but you actually take it and you journal on it. And I got to admit, I'm not good at it, but I do recognize the value in it. and I'm trying to learn how, because it changes the whole way that I digest it. I feel like God feeds me that way. And, you know, it just puts it in a different light for me when I'm able to take what I read on that text, journal it, look into my Bible, you know, and follow along. So I just wanted to let you kind of go with that idea of journaling real quick and maybe how that adds some effectiveness to this.
Yeah, well, no, you're absolutely right. And I'm not very good at journaling either. But right from the very beginning, when we started the original group, that was part of it. I made up these little, you know, flip chart types of journals. It's like, here, guys, journal.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guys were the same way. It's like, I don't journal. And it's like, well, just do it. For this period of time, just do it. And some of the guys that never journaled were the ones that were just floored. It's like, you know, they'd get into writing something that they've been going through the day, and, you know, they said, all of a sudden, I've written 2 pages.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is some unique way that God communicates through the pen that way. And I think, for me personally, the thing that journaling does is that, you know, a day goes by, and God's done a lot more things in that day than what you remember at the end of the day. And when you start writing it down, it starts to come to your recall. And then when it starts to come out, you know, at the tip of your pen, then it starts to imprint itself more deeply in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one really cool part of journaling that, you know, with the guys, it was like, you know, how, you know, awesome would it be if you had a journal that you could go back and read that your grandfather wrote? Because it would be hugely impactful. And yet we don't have that type of thing. And so it's like, you know, your journal someday to your kids or your grandkids may have just, you know, a huge effect on their faith and on their walk, and to kind of know their heritage or where they came from. So, you know, that aspect of journaling to me, you know, holds a pretty strong sway just because of, you know, the potential impact it has in future generations too.
Yeah. And let me say this, if you don't mind, is that one of the fears a lot of us men have is that we might not want to journal because we're afraid of that very thing. Like what we write someday, you know, if I'm writing what's really on my heart, if I'm being honest, you know, someday somebody's going to read that and go, oh my gosh. But you know what? Let me encourage you guys that whoever's listening, whoever might get any food from this at all, it's this, you know, you left everything at the cross. It doesn't mean you stopped your behavior or actions. Hopefully it does, but we're men and we blow it. We, you know, we think and do stupid things. That's just how we are. And guess what? Women do and think stupid things too. It just happens. But the deal is this: you left them at the cross, and the redemption and the victory is there. So don't be afraid of what's real, because that realness, that open and honest writing, the dialogue that you have with people is what will feed the people that read that later on. It's the problem that we have a lot of times is that we're so bottled up and afraid to talk about what's really on our heart or what's really going on. Hey, I really thought this. I really, you know, felt this, that we actually withhold the blessing in our own life and with somebody else's life because we're not being honest, man. We're not being real. So don't be afraid of that, because it's the thing that I know for me, I've thought before, gosh, man, I don't want to write about that. But then I think, well, wait, why not? What am I afraid of? Christ already took care of that. So be real, and if somebody ever hears it, then hopefully it'll be a blessing to them.
Yeah, you know, to add to that too, Ken, I agree with you completely. And the one aspect of our walk in this world is that I really believe there are only 2 dominant spiritual forces that take place. That's either from, you know, it's either from God or it's from the enemy. And the Bible makes it very clear that the fear is not from God. So if we have anything in our life that's motivating us in one direction or another out of fear, you can pretty much just say, hey, this is not of you, God. And I know when things come up with me that way, it's like, I know this is not from you, so I don't want it. And, you know, about as soon as you say those words that you acknowledge it's not from him and you don't want it, it goes away. And it's not that it's not going to come back again, but you have a way of dealing with it.
And yeah.
So
absolutely, man. Well, again, I want to tell our listeners, go to lookuptohim.com, LOOKUP, the number 2, HIM.com. Lookuptohim.com. You can sign up there. You can check it out. Like I said, I told you before, there's testimonials. There's, you know, you can kind of investigate what it's all about. But I will tell you just personally, I think it's awesome. It's a great blessing in my day to, You know, it's, and when I feel my phone vibrate, I'm like, oh, okay, that's, if I look at the time and I know it's on the hour, I know what that message is. And I grab it and take a look at it almost no matter where I'm at, you know? And otherwise, if I have to wait a few minutes and get somewhere where I can look at it, I do. It's awesome. I love this. And, obviously God is working it through you and it's all His. And I know that, from our dialogue together, Brent, and it's awesome, man. I encourage everybody to check this out. Very cool stuff. Well, thank you, Brent. Brent Bailey, our guest today. Again, lookuptohim.com, and we'll hope that you guys all sign up for that deal. Brent, I'll look forward to talking to you again soon, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, Ken. You have an awesome day, and just thanks for the time.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Well, that wraps another edition of Power Players Radio. Thanks for joining us again. You can listen to the program Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. right here on Radio 323. And if you missed a show, go to the website, radio323.com. Subscribe to our podcast. You can always get the programs downloaded right into your iTunes through the podcast, or you can go to our archives page at the same location, radio323.com. Go to the archives page and see any show you might have missed or any show you didn't know existed. It might be there. Check it out. See who we've had on the program, and then give us your feedback. Drop me an email anytime. Ken@project323.org. I'd love to hear from you, and keep tuning in to Radio 323 for all this great programming. Help support our ministry if you would. You can go online also and make a secure donation, one time or a recurring monthly donation. We appreciate your support. Keep this very unique Christian programming coming at you. We combine all the elements of Christian radio right here in one place. Talk, sports, music, study, family programming. We put it all in one spot. You don't have to go from dial to dial, and you can listen in while you're surfing the web or while you're working. It's always safe to stream. Again, we appreciate you so much here on Radio 323, and we'll look forward to having you tune in again tomorrow.